This is Steve Braswell. Welcome to my podcast. We are continuing in our series, Surviving the Storm, How to Survive the Storms of Life by God's Strength. Today, we come to the topic, Surviving the Storm When I Feel Worthless. Ever felt that way? Well, I have some good news and some bad news. Which do you want to hear first? You ever heard that before? Which do you usually choose? Well, I read a story about a New York attorney representing a wealthy art collector. He called his client and said that, I have some good news and I have some bad news. The art collector replied, well, I've had an awful day, so give me the good news first. The lawyer said, well, I met with your wife today. She informed me that she just invested $5,000 in two pictures that she thinks will bring a minimum of $15 to $20 million, and I think she could be right. The art collector replied enthusiastically, well done. My wife is a brilliant businesswoman. You've just made my day. Now I know I can handle the bad news. What is it? The lawyer replied, the pictures are of you and your secretary. In the Bible, Moses reached the bottom of the mountain where he had gone to receive the Ten Commandments, and the funny story goes, he gathered the people together there and said, all right, everyone, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is I've got him down to 10. The bad news is adultery stays. Well, today I have some spiritual good news and bad news for you. The bad news is you're not perfect. The good news is God hasn't given up on you yet. Well, this week's podcast, as I said, is about surviving the storm when you feel worthless. Have you ever been there feeling worthless because you know how imperfect and broken and shattered you are, how much you don't measure up to everyone else's expectations of yourself, sometimes not even to your own expectations of yourself? Do you know who knows the best how imperfect I am? It's not even me. It's my wife, Joy. Why? Because she sees and lives with all the imperfections, even the ones I'm not aware of. And if she told me about every one of them every day, I would have a complex and would probably never step out in public again. Friends, we're not perfect. We all have our flaws. I always say that if you take my strengths and flip them to the other side, they're always weaknesses. Let me give an example. One person has a strength of always being on time. Okay? You take that strength and flip it over, and it can be a weakness. For example, they may have no compassion on someone who's 1 minute late. So I want you to hear the good news today emphasized from God's word. The text today is 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. It's in Paul's closing to his letter to the Thessalonians. He's already written them about his thanksgiving for their faith, his desire to return to them, the report he received about them from Timothy, their need to avoid sexual sins and to work hard in spite of the coming return of the Lord. But now he's closing the letter and he has some profound truths to share with them at the close. So chapter 5, verses 23 through 24. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Friends, I want to break down these verses into five parts and put a word with each part that's a word that starts with the letter P, all right? The first part is person. Verse 23, may God himself, the God of peace. So this is a prayer of Paul's for the believers, and it starts not with the people or the problem, but with God. We need to learn from that. We need to start with God. Only God can make you better. Exercise can help you physically. Friends can help you socially. Money can help you financially, but only God can help you spiritually. Remember, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Notice how he addresses God. God himself, the God of peace. Peace is something God has and that God gives. Shalom, total wholeness, complete peace. So the person, God himself, the God of peace. And the second part is the purpose. Verse 23, sanctify you through and through. Now God is doing a work in you on purpose. His purpose is to sanctify you. And that's a word that refers to the gradual process of God making you more and more like Jesus. Regeneration is instantaneous when we believe. Sanctification, though, is the process that begins then and continues the rest of our lives. But it finds its ultimate goal when we appear before Jesus in all his glory. Notice that this process is complete and thorough. He says, sanctify you through and through. And it needs to be, because every area of us is damaged by sin. That's what the doctrine of total depravity is all about. It's not that we are as bad as we could be, but that every part of us is affected by sin. Sin's effect is total. So our sanctification needs to be through and through. Have you ever tried to renovate an old house? You know what happens. You fix one thing, and then three other things need to be fixed. And before you know it, the job has just grown and grown. Well, that's the way it is with us. And only God is great enough and brave enough to do this renovation process with us and to do it through and through. The third part is the prospect in verse 23. May your whole spirit, soul, and body. This is another way of saying that this process needs to include every part of us. But here, Paul is more specific. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. Everything from the inside out and everything in between. What would you change about your body if you could? For many, it's because your parts don't work as good as they used to. For others, it's because of your outward appearance. I remember one woman told me that when the hair salons were closed during the pandemic and her hair lost its color, she was not happy about that. It changed the way she felt about herself on the inside, even though really the inside hadn't changed, only the outside. But what about the inside, the true you? What would you change about that? You have a quick temper, an impatient spirit, critical tongue, a spirit of discontentment, a judgmental spirit, lingering resentment and lack of forgiveness. Well, here's the good news of the gospel. God is working in you to change all of those. But God is also empowering you to work on it too. Remember what Paul wrote in Philippians 2, 12 through 13? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Notice the combination there? Yes, God is working in us. Thank God that it's not just left up to me alone. I'd make a mess of it. God is working in me. But God also commands me, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I have put the gift of salvation in you. I've called you to this process of sanctification, so you work it out as God works it in. Then the fourth P is the position. Verse 23, be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that part. Blameless. I like that word. It means no one can bring any charge against me. I sometimes grew weary of falling short of the expectations of all the people in the church, always fearing that someone would think that I didn't do enough. I didn't visit enough or prepare enough for a Bible study or sermon. But in that day, all that will come to an end. Jesus is the only judge that matters, and Jesus will declare me blameless. Is that because I have finally reached perfection? No, it's because God has completed that work of sanctification through and through every part of me. So, the next time you feel like God can't use you, the next time you feel like I'm worthless, I don't have enough to offer God, look at all these other people and all they can do, and I can't be as good as they are. Well, the next time you feel like God can't use you, remember, Noah got drunk, Abraham was too old, Jacob was a liar, Leah was more appearance challenged than Rachel. Notice I didn't say ugly. Joseph was abused by family members. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptizer ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while Jesus was praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. And yet God used every one of them. You see, I can come up with all kinds of reasons why God can't use me. And what I'm really doing is coming up with an excuse to get myself off the playing field, so to speak. But God says, get back in there. Do the best you can, and I'm going to be strengthening you, and I'm going to be cheering you on. Don't say you're disqualified when I can still use you. Author Mike Iaconelli wrote, "The power of the church is not a parade of flawless people, but of a flawless Christ who embraces our flaws. The church is not made up of the whole people, but rather of the broken people who find wholeness in a Christ who is broken for us." Sometimes people get the wrong idea about the church. They think the church is for all the people who have it all together. And the problem is sometimes the people that are most involved in church give that impression. They look down on other people. They think they're better than others and treat others in that way. And in so doing, they don't let other people see what the church is really all about. The church is about a flawless Christ reaching out to people full of flaws. It's about a Christ who was broken for us. And then in ways that we're broken, he will heal us. Now, I'm not what I ought to be today, but thank God on that day yet to come, I will stand before Jesus the judge, and he will say, "You are blameless." Isn't that wonderful? And then number 5, the promise, verse 24. "The one who calls you is faithful," and notice these words, "he will do it." I love this part the best. How can I be sure of that all of the construction of this project will one day be complete? How can I be sure that while I'm trying my best to work out my salvation, that it will be enough? Here's the answer. He will do it. And who is the he? He's the one who calls you. And what kind of he is he? He is faithful. I well remember many years ago, my youth pastor's wife quoted this verse to us often. And when I read it now, I think about her. She's now in Jesus' presence, and all the work that she promised God was doing in her is now complete. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Have you been to the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte? If not, I would encourage you to go sometime. Billy and Ruth Graham are buried there. Ruth, of course, passed away first, and she planned her tombstone. And on her tombstone are inscribed these words, "End of construction. Thank you for your patience." I think the story was that she saw that when she was traveling one day and there was some road construction project and there was a sign like that. And she thought that applied to her at her death, because now the construction project is over. So thank you for your patience. Construction can be a long and messy process. I know, because of the long construction process being done on a major road near where we live right now. It seems to take forever. It seems that they work and work, and months go by, and nothing major has been accomplished. Well, look how long God's been working on some of you. And look how messy that project has been. And look how others may look in at you and feel like years have gone by and nothing new has been accomplished. There have been so many detours and needs for new tools and ways that have tried to wreck the whole construction. But in the end, He who is faithful will do it. Here's some good news if you're not perfect, and you definitely are not. And if you can't see that, ask a friend to point it out to you. You are not perfect. Construction is not finished yet, but one day God will complete the project and mark it blameless to His glory forever and ever. So when the storms are blowing and you feel worthless, not able to measure up to others, just remember, they are not the final judge, and you are not the final judge. The final judge is Jesus. And listen to what He says to you through this passage today. Be patient. I'm still working, and when I'm finished, I'll give you the final mark. Not worthless, but blameless. So live in hope of that. I hope that helps you in the storm that you're facing today. Please join me next week. We'll continue our series, and next week's theme is surviving the storm when I feel like giving up. So don't give up, and plan to be with us next week.